Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace of God given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say, come, come, Lord Jesus. We pray for President Donald Trump today, for his healing, for his family. We pray for those others who were their families and the loss, those who died, others who are injured. We pray for President Biden as he leads our country and for all of our elected officials, our first responders, all of those who stand to take care of us so that we might have the opportunity to live in freedom. Bless them all today and their families. Heavenly Father, we are bound by the earth. We are distracted. We're troubled about all things on the right and the left, and we pray that today you would help us to think about heaven. May the Holy Spirit aid us and help us in hearing these promises from the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven for us on earth, his people, the church. Grant that they might help us to live in joy and peace and assurance in the midst of troubles until you come. Holy Spirit, give us understanding now in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good to see all of you this morning. Good morning. I'm Pastor Mike. We're honored to have you if you're a guest with us today. If you have your Bible, please find your place in Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. We're continuing to look these days at the wonderful promises of the Lord Jesus Christ to his church on the earth. And we've been looking at each of these promises, and we'll review them today. We'll read them together in just a moment. I think that'll be of encouragement to us. Last week, we looked at the first part of this promise in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 12. And today, we'll look at the second part of that promise. Revelation chapter number 3, and I want you to keep your Bible open. We'll read several things together before we move along and look at some observations and have some thoughts about them. Let's hear the word of the Lord today. Revelation chapter 3, the Lord Jesus is speaking to the church at Philadelphia. He says in verse 11, I am coming quickly, hold fast what you have, so that no one will take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again, I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Let's read now while we have our Bibles open these promises that we've already heard from the Lord. Revelation chapter number 2, verse number 7. Revelation 2, 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life which is in the paradise of God. Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse number 11. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Then we read in chapter 2, verse number 17. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse number 26. He who overcomes, and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Chapter number 3, verse number 5. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And then we come back to what we've read already. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. And then next week, Lord willing, we will look at this final promise, Revelation 3:21. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Now we read also together, if you'll find your place, Revelation chapter number 21. Revelation chapter number 21. In Revelation chapter number 21, we have John's seeing the new heaven and the new earth that are coming. At the end of this old earth and this old heaven. And we read also about the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21, verse number 10. Revelation 21, 10. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like that of a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, their names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. And then we also have in verse 16, the city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as the width. And he measured the city with the rod, 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. And he measured its walls 72 yards according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city were all adorned with every kind of a precious stone. And then we read verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And then also we read in chapter 22, verse number 1, then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Heavenly Father, and I bless the reading of your word. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our focal truth today is one of great significance. As we think about heaven, believers in heaven will not only be permanently present with the Lord, like pillars in the temple of our God. This is what we talked about last week. Permanently present with the Lord, but believers in heaven will eternally belong to God. We have some strange words here that we read in this passage. Strange words. We're not quite sure how to read them and understand them. I will write on him. I will write on him the name of my God. I will write on him the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven. I will write on him my new name. I remind you last week that we looked at 1 Kings, and for the sake of time, I'm just going to read it to you. 1 Kings chapter 7, Solomon, when he was building the temple, he had a bronze maker come and build two massive bronze pillars. And these pillars were placed at the entrance of the temple. His name was Hiram. Hiram made these, and then I just read it to you, 1 Kings 7:21. He set up the pillars at the porch of the nave, that is at the entrance of the temple. And he set up the right pillar and named it Jachin, and he set up the left pillar and named it Boaz. Jachin means established. Nothing better for the name of a pillar, established. God establishes his kingdom reign. God establishes, he is established. He is firm, he is unchanging, established, and then Boaz, strength. God's established strength. The pillars were named describing qualities and characteristics of Almighty God. Well, we discover here three observations that I want to make about belonging. Heaven is the place where we belong, dear friends. Heaven is the place where we belong. So it's going to be hard for us today. We're so bound to this world. And this is why we've spent this time together, and I felt like it was important for us as a group of believers to spend some time thinking about our home, not here, but our home in heaven, and what the Lord Jesus has promised. And I hope these words will be encouragement to you. These are real promises, using symbols and strange figurative language to describe the indescribable. Though they are symbols and it's figurative language, they describe real realities that will happen for every person who is a believer in heaven. Those who are, as we read, overcomers. When you go to heaven, you are one of the overcomers. You are one who has overcome your sin through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three observations. Believers in heaven will belong to God. He says to us here, I will write on him the name of my God. I will write on him the name of my God. Secondly, believers in heaven will be citizens of a new Jerusalem, of a new holy Jerusalem, the place of permanent belonging. We'll talk about that for a moment. When he says, I will write upon them the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, as we just read in Revelation 21. And then finally, for just a moment, believers in heaven will belong to Jesus Christ, their Lord. And I will write on him my new name. First, believers in heaven will belong to God. We read Revelation 22:4. They will see his face and his name is written on their forehead. You know, much is said about names in the book of Revelation. You've read it with me. Why the angels have that are at the gates of this new city, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. You have all kinds of names being used. We have a new name. You'll receive a new identity in heaven. We read it earlier. You'll be given a white stone, that is, your welcome into heaven, and you'll be named with a new name. Your old heritage, your old family name from this world, your past pedigree here won't matter. You're now a child of God in heaven with a new name. Names have great significance. When I want to keep up with things that belong to me, I put my name on them. I put my name on things that belong to me. God puts his name upon those things that belong to him. He is putting his name on us. That is, he is speaking of our acceptance by him through Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful belonging with God the Father. The Word of God says, the Lord Jesus promised, are you remember this? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Believers who belong to the Lord will see the glory of God. I don't quite know how to describe that with our human words, but we will see the eternal glory of God forever. We will see it. We will see it. What did John tell us? He said we will see him as he is. We'll be changed, and we will see him as he is. In the book of Ezekiel, when it was a very bad time in the history of Israel and Jerusalem, God sent through Ezekiel these words to an angel and said, this is Ezekiel 9:4, go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the forehead of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which are being committed in its midst. There's something about being in this world that just doesn't fit. Once you come to be a follower of Jesus Christ, we carry with us all of that past baggage. We carry with us all of those sad memories in our past of how we live for ourselves, and we've committed great sin against God and great sin against others. But once you come to know the Lord Jesus, all of a sudden there comes to be a new longing and desire for somewhere else, some other place. It's not moving somewhere in the United States. Many of us have lived in various places. We've all been new somewhere. We've all been a stranger, an alien. The reality is that the longer you walk with the Lord Jesus, you sense your own estrangement, your exile, your alienation from this world. It doesn't work for you. It doesn't fit. The philosophies and ideas of this world don't matter. They don't make any sense. And you're drawn toward a relationship with God that grows. You're drawn toward something beyond this world. That's why the Lord Jesus gave these promises, to remind us of heaven as our home, the place where we belong. We belong with our God. The name of God is written on their foreheads. We belong to God. We know him in his glory. We see him in his majesty. This is the great promise. The first of these aspects of this promise in verse 12. I will write on him the name of my God. I want you to know today that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are loved by God the Father. You are accepted through Jesus Christ. You have security so that you might live in joy in the midst of a world of trouble. You belong to God. You are a child of God. You belong to him, but there's a place we're going, a real place. And that is this new Jerusalem, as the Lord Jesus says. I will write the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem. And I want you to think about this. We read about the new Jerusalem in Revelation 21. Before I elaborate on that just a moment, I'd like for you also to take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter number 11 is the famous chapter about living by faith. If you're a Christian here today, we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We haven't seen Jesus with our eyes physically, but we have believed and trusted in him. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. We believe that he is the one who shows us the glory of God in bodily form. We believe that. We see that. So we live by faith. We are not permanently present with the Lord with all of our distractions and the world separated from us. Having overcome the world and the flesh and the devil, one day we will have permanent presence with the Lord, which is hard to imagine, which is hard to understand. But in Hebrews chapter 11, we read these words about those who live by faith. All those, this is verse 13, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them, having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. We just don't fit in. We talk about different things. We have different values than the world. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. We're drawn to another place, even beyond our motherland, our homeland, here in the United States of America. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. Verse 16 is what I want you to see. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. He has prepared a place where we will belong. He has prepared holy Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. The glory of God will come in this glorious place. This place that we can't quite understand. This place with massive dimensions as it was measured. With clear glass and gold and pearls and beautiful stones describing the unimaginable beauty of this city. Many of you have moved around like I have, and you've seen many large cities in the world. And you're impressed by looking at those cities, the skyline of those cities. You see them sometimes, for instance, like Los Angeles is stretched out over such a far, it's far beyond the reaches of the skyline in the middle of Los Angeles. Perhaps you've been to San Francisco and you've seen the Golden Gate Bridge and you've seen that city skyline. And many of you have made your way to New York and you've seen New York there on the harbor. And that sign, that picture of the Statue of Liberty, and there behind it, the city of New York. You know, we don't find we find a city, and sometimes we come from a place, and that's what we know. We belong to that place. We were born there. What did Brother Jeff say to us? They're born from Zion. Now we who are believers in Jesus Christ have been born again, and we come from another land. We come from another place. We have put aside our old earthly ways, our old earthly desires, and now we're on our way to heaven. We live our life thinking about heaven. We finally get to heaven. We get to the heavenly city, and I believe it's when we say, now. This is where I belong. This is where I belong. When we find our way to heaven as overcomers and we enter in, what a glorious time it will be. All of us who have the name of Almighty God on us and the name of the Lord Jesus on us will all be seen together again in that massive multitude of multitudes who stand and sing and praise God and experience of the glory of God in that new Jerusalem forever and a day. And what did we see? There's a river flowing through it, and there's a tree of life there, and there are nations that walk by its light. The kings of the earth bring their glory. What an amazing time it will be when there is a new heaven and a new earth and the city. The new city, the new Jerusalem, the old one's gone. What did the Lord say? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who killed the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, murdered him on the cross. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the place where God's people turned away and rejected the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the place where the Lord Jesus will come again and for 1,000 years reign and set things in order and sit upon the throne of King David in order to honor and glorify God and to do judgment as he must do. But then he gives all things over to God and there comes to be a new heaven and a new earth. There is a place where you belong, but it's not on the earth. There's a place where you fit in, and it's not on the earth. There's a place where you will live in full joy and experience of God like you cannot fathom. Look, the greatest moment you've ever had of revival in your heart where you felt the closest to God cannot compare, cannot compare with seeing the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the last thing I want you to see here. I have written on him my new name. There are some things about the Lord Jesus. We know many of his names from the Word of God. We call him by these names. We call him the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah. We call him by these glorious names, the Word of God, the Light of God. We call him by these names, but there is more to him. There is the glory of his name that we cannot comprehend. But believers in heaven will know beyond our earthly experience the glory of the Lord Jesus and his name. He is the one full of grace and truth that John writes about, and we have the Word of God pointing us to the Lord Jesus. But there will be a day when we will experience seeing the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to look with me for just a moment at what the Lord said about this when he prayed to God the Father in John 17. Take your Bible, find John 17. Many of you know this, but others of you may not be as familiar. This is the prayer of the Lord Jesus before his death, sometimes called his great prayer, his high priestly prayer that he prayed there before he was taken away and went to the cross. I want you to look in John 17, beginning in the Lord's Prayer at verse 22. The Lord Jesus is praying and he says, "The glory which you have given me, I have given to them." Now that's on the earth. Let your light shine, Christian. "That they may be one just as we are one." And look at this wonderful description of our union with Jesus Christ and with God the Father. "I am in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me." But then the desire of the Lord Jesus, what did the Lord Jesus desire of God the Father when he prayed? What did he desire? "Father, I desire that they also," that is believers, not only the apostles, but all of us who would believe because of the apostles, us in this room who are believers. "Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am." They belong with me. They belong with me. "So that they may see my glory." Now, wait a minute. "That they may see my glory." We can't see it now. It's hard for us. We see the work of the Lord Jesus. We see his work in the world, but we do not see his glory as we'll see it in heaven. "That they may see my glory which you have given me." You see, the Lord Jesus is the radiant glory of God. He is the one who radiates the glory of God. "For you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known you that you sent me." You see, we will go to heaven. I will write my name, my new name on them. Believers will see the glory of the unity of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Believers will see the eternal love of God expressed in the Son as we experience the love of God ourselves. We will be surrounded by the glorious love of God forever. We will be surrounded. We will be enveloped. We will be involved. We will be a part of the eternal glory of God. And we will be with the Lord Jesus. And we will always sense our permanent love and belonging in that place. Everywhere else seems like we're strangers. Everywhere else seems like we're there for a little bit and then we have to move somewhere else. But heaven is coming where we will live gloriously, eternally in the presence of God, celebrating his presence, enjoying the pleasures of heaven forever, and there will be nothing to compare with seeing his face. Revelation, we read it, seeing his face. We read it also in what the Lord said in the promise, they will see God, We read it again in 1 John 3. See how great a love the Father has given to us. Listen to the promise that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Now, we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared to what we will be like. Listen, we know when He appears, we will be like Him. That's what all of these promises are about. We'll be like Him. We'll be glorified. We'll experience glorification and separation permanently from our sinful nature and the old ways. We will be like Him because, you know why we'll be like Him? Because we will see Him just as He is. We will see Him. The very sight of the glory of the Lord Jesus will glorify us forever and ever. So what do we remember today? Well, heaven is the place of belonging. Heaven is the place of belonging where we go and we celebrate together being with God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it will be. We always will say our Father. That's what the Lord taught us to pray, our Father. Heaven is about going home. Heaven is about going to your final home, the place where you really belong. You see, heaven is our place of seeing and knowing the glory of God and being changed by it as we see Him as He is. These are strange but great truths about heaven. I'm seeing the Lord Jesus and I'm continuing to be transformed and glorified. And the believer's heavenly country and city is for us and we're moving toward it. So I always, when I think about these words, though I'm not a good singer like Brother Jeff in our choir, but I always think about songs of belonging. You know, there are hymns and songs that we sing that I call hymns and songs of belonging. I think about this one. Now I belong to Jesus. Some of you grew up singing it like me. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone. I don't just belong to God here. I don't just belong to the Lord Jesus here. But I belong to Him for eternity. But I have another one. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by His grace I shall look at His face, that will be glory, glory for me. When by His grace I shall look at His face. That will be glory for me, glory for me. Can anybody say amen? To the praise of the glory of His grace, the Lord is near to the door. We've seen another example, even yesterday. Even yesterday, the Lord is near to the door. And the birth pangs continue to increase. You can't explain it away. Sociologists can't explain it away. Corruption, wickedness, godlessness, evil reigning. Jesus is coming again. That's why, as the choir reminds us, we say, and I say to you every week, come, Lord Jesus.